Welcome to 45 Left or Right Podcast, Episode 10, The Pull of Motherhood, Part 2. Today we're going to talk about what it is like to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm going to interview my other best friend for life, who has been a stay-at-home mom for, like 14 years. And buckle up, because I have a lot of thoughts on what it is like to be a stay-at-home mom, because I have been one also for several years. I was a helicopter pilot in the Army for 7 years. I served in Iraq for 1 year. I have worked high-pressure sales, telephone customer service. I've done stand-up comedy shows at dive bars at 1 a.m. But there is no other job I have ever had that was more difficult than being a stay-at-home mom. And I truly mean that, not meant for exaggeration. Some people assert that staying at home with your kids is not a job. You're right, it isn't a job, because that assumes that one is paid. Let me tell you a story that illustrates what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom. We had just moved to Southern California from North Carolina, and we were living in a nice little rental home. Devin was probably 2 or 3 years old. It was early, before any of us, you know, were out of our pajamas, and Curious George was on in the background. I had to grab something really quickly out of the car that was parked in the driveway. I was wearing a t-shirt and athletic shorts and no bra. The door shut behind me and I heard a click and little Devin toddler laughter. Devin had locked me out of the house and he couldn't or wouldn't let me back in the house. So I had a rambunctious little toddler alone in my house, an elderly dog, and a cat that was hiding somewhere. So I was a little bit panicked. I look out, and there's my neighbor, a retired older gentleman, and he is laughing at me. I looked out to find help, and I was met with laughter. He was a nice man, just not particularly helpful to me at that time. Fortunately, my dear husband had just recently hit a key in the backyard, so I was able to let myself in, but it felt really lonely out there. Me against my toddler. You look for help, and they laugh because they think you have plenty of time to do it yourself. That loneliness that I felt in that moment is generally how you can feel when you're a stay-at-home mom. You want all the best for your children and you love your children, but they are also little slave drivers. They need food, they need enrichment, they need education, they need rides to see their friends and do outside activities. And then there is usually the expectation for you to keep up the housework, cleaning, laundry, etc., and of course, cooking. So my guest today not only does all of this, but she also homeschools her 4 children and has for several years. She is a superhero. She is Claire Lamp Yule, who is my best friend for life. I interviewed her identical twin Emily last week about being a working mom. She is very intelligent, thoughtful, and a kind person, and I am honored to have known her my whole life.
So, starting the interview, tell me, who are you? And how do we know each other?
Well, My name is Claire, and I am a mom and a homeschool mom, and live in South Carolina currently, which I love. And I met Darice when we were itty bitty. My recollection is of a picture of when we were about 2 years old at church. We had these Easter bonnets on, really cute. And we've been best friends ever since. I have a lot of history, and she's like my sister from another mother.
That's right. That picture your mom brought out when she met Jeff for the first time, and I was like, oh no. But he liked it, so that was happy in that picture.
Like, why my mom's making me wear this thing? Like, but it's cute.
All right, so tell me, who are your kids and how old are they?
Okay, I have four kids: David, Emily, Ruth, and Esther. And David's 14. Emily is 12. Ruth is 10. And Esther just turned 8.
Gosh, wow.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I remember when Davey was born.
Yep. Yeah. You gave him a very special gift. I can't remember the name, but it was a dragon stuffed animal, and he loved it. And then, yeah. Oh, I think we called him Okie Dokie or something. Like
that. Oh, yeah. I remember.
He was very cute.
I love it.
Let me know if I fail to answer your question, because my mind is not quite listening to me.
You're doing fine. Yes, I think you hit them all the kids. Well, tell me a little bit about, what are your kids' personalities like?
I would say David is he's very assertive. He's conscientious and concerned about doing the right thing. I mean, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. I'm enjoying seeing him go through this transition phase into a man. Emmy is very sweet tempered and mild mannered. She's a lot like her namesake, my sister Emily. And she also has a good sense of humor. It's a different kind of sense of humor from Davies. It's a muted, she's very observant. Ruth is she is full of life. She is outspoken. And she feels things very deeply. And she will let you know when she's really happy, and she'll let you know when she's really unhappy. And she's a fun person to be around. Actually, they all are. And then Esther likes to play jokes on people and be silly. And she's a big hugger. She likes to hug people.
Aww.
And show affection.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm a hugger also, so I like that. Although I'm beginning to realize that introverts sometimes don't like hugs. So I gotta like rein in my extrovertness.
I would say, speaking as an introvert, that introverts like hugs from people they know well.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I usually just feel them out. I'm like, they're looking. But then sometimes we've talked about before, extroverts, need introverts and introverts need extroverts. And so sometimes, so a lot of my friends are introverts. And sometimes I'm like, wait, are you the introvert that doesn't like us?
Oh,
Or are
I can't
you?
remember.
I default to hugs.
I like hugs, but if it's not somebody I know very
Yeah.
well, that it's just awkward.
They're like, I don't think so. I guess talking about Ruthie, I mean, they're different, but Devin is a big feeler also. He's got
Yeah, okay.
big emotions, happy, joyful mostly, but when he is mad, it. And when he's like upset, it,
Yes.
big time. So
Exactly.
yeah, but generally he's very he's generally easygoing, but he has big emotions.
So sometimes I feel like Ruthie, I could learn a lot from her because she will express what's on her mind. And I mean, that can be a good thing and that can be a not so good thing, but sometimes I wish I were a little braver to be able to express what's on my mind
Right.
in a kind way, but
Right. So something you gotta teach them, right? How to be a little gentler with their expression, their feeling. But I know. And I mean, I think that's why Devin threw the apple, because he was just like, enough. It's my boundary. And you can't pick on me anymore. And
He made it clear.
he made it clear, and that kid apologized to him after that. So he hasn't messed with them since. They're not like friends,
Yeah, but they just have an understanding, it sounds
Yeah. Devin's like, don't mess with me. And he's like, yeah, I'm a lot.
like.
All right. So how long have you been a stay-at-home mother? And then how many years have you homeschooled your kids?
So I've been a stay-at-home mom since Davy was born. So 14 plus almost 15 years. And then homeschooling mom since he was five. So what's that? Nine, 10 years.
Right.
Let me do my simple math.
I don't do math. Wow, that's amazing. Well, I mean, how has that experience been for you overall, both staying at home and then, homeschooling? Because that's an additional thing, really, the homeschooling.
I mean, I love being a mom. I love being able to be at home with my kids. I think it's a lot harder than I ever thought it would be. I think a lot of it is you don't necessarily see the outcome in the short term. I mean, those days can be very hard, and I remember when the kids were really little and I couldn't converse with them much except for very simple sentences and teaching them how to do things. It could be really lonely. And I think a lot, I think most moms probably would say that just being home with their infants and then toddlers, how lonely that can be. We actually spent a lot of time at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A
And
is a saving grace for me.
then once Davey got into preschool, so he and Emmy and Ruthie, to some extent, they all went to a church preschool. So that was their introduction to school, really. And then in kindergarten, we started homeschooling. But that was great because then they met kids and played with kids, and I met some moms, and we would do things together. So that made it less lonely. And then we had our church groups and things like that as well. As far as homeschooling, that also has been much harder than I ever thought it would be. Because I thought, I went to school. I even have a teaching certificate. Can't be that bad, but I've learned that you have to put a lot more thought into homeschooling than I realized. And not being a particularly organized person, it's been a challenge for me. And it's really just within the last few years that I've begun to enjoy it. The homeschool group that we're a part of is, well, it's socially very meaningful. I mean, that's where many, many of our friends are. So it's a great community. But also, I just love what they're learning. And especially once they get into the middle school years, it's just, I mean, they're doing Latin now and a lot of literature and learning how to write. And so it's actually kind of fun and interesting to me.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I look back on the early years and wish I could do them over again and do them better. But, you know, life was what it was at the time. And
yeah,
I'll only do that and trust God for the outcome.
Right. Yeah. I know. For the record, for my podcast, Claire also has a master's in linguistics from UNC Chapel Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So very, very, very smart mom and woman. I know. I remember, you know, when I stayed home with Devin for his first 5 years. It was so lonely. I mean, oh my gosh. You know, I talked about this in the previous episode. I was like stalking playground moms. I like,
yes,
friends,
yes.
Please. Because I was, you know, we were in a new state and we didn't know anybody here. And you have this little being that you adore and love, mm-hmm. but you cannot talk to them really. You know, and then you don't have, it's hard to find a mom community, because I feel like in a way you're all just kind of trapped in your homes for a while. I mean, you go out, obviously, but yeah. You know, again, at Chick-fil-A, you can't be like, oh, hi.
You can't stay there indefinitely.
You can't. I mean, you could, they won't kick you out, but.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very generous with their space and their time. But
exactly, but it's hard.
I think growing up, or at least for me, you know, I saw my mom, but I didn't realize how much she did, and I didn't know how hard it was.
Yeah,
and then you're relating to these personalities that are growing and changing, and some of them don't line up with your personality, so you have to learn how to manage someone who's very different.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just a lot harder than I would have ever thought.
Yeah, I know. I look back at that time and I cherish it, but I also, like, I feel this sense of exhaustion and loneliness is like the biggest thing. And, you know, Jeff would go. I know, but you get out of it, you know, as your kids get older, I think you find.
Yeah, and I think.
Yeah, you form our friends and mom friends who, it's like you're all coming out of the shadows.
Yeah, here we are.
Hi.
I think that is, that has been a benefit with the homeschooling community, is that you kind of realize that you're in this boat together, and, mm-hmm. you know, just like the baseball moms or, you know, that you interact with. So you have these separate lives, but you realize you're going through many of the same experiences, and I think that's helpful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I always, you know, I've kind of done both working, although sort of more freelance. So I've always had flexibility, but I was always kind of jealous of my friends who left the home and went to work because they had a separate identity and purpose from their children.
Yeah.
And, you know, had like adult interaction, and then they could go home, and, you know, and I know they're tired. I know there's all hard things, you know, but you had that separation when you don't have that when you're at home with your kids.
Yeah, I think it's you go through so many different emotions.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I would
That's
be
a
jealous of Jeff when he came home.
You
I'm
got
like,
to go to work all day.
yeah, and he would be like, whoa, come in, like, hi, how was your day? And I'm just, I'm so tired.
And again, it's not a comment on your children. You love your children, but I think it's okay to recognize
Yeah,
this is a hard
absolutely.
job. It's
It is a hard
exhausting.
job. Yeah, it is exhausting. No, obviously we love our children. They're amazing, but they can also make you tired. For sure. So we've kind of touched on this, but well, let me go back. So now that your kids are older, what sort of activities do they do, outside of home? And I know they do, and I guess outside of homeschooling as well.
Yeah. Well, so we do meet with that homeschool group once a week. Although the year is winding down for that, so that'll end next week, actually. Davey does some sports. He does jujitsu regularly, and he has for years. So he does that a few times a week, and then he also plays sports through the YMCA. So soccer and flag football, which he's loved and have been great for him. And there, the YMCA here, at least, I don't know how it is there. It's really low stress. Like it's 6 weeks of a game once a week and a practice, once or twice a week. So it's not too much of a commitment. I just wouldn't have had time to do that. And Emmy does choir, and Ruthie's just started piano, and then we're pretty involved with church activities, like, well, on the weekend, and then as the kids get older with the youth group and that kind of thing. But it's a good bit of coming and going, but I would say I know other homeschooling families who do a whole lot more outside activities than we've done.
It sounds like you have a pretty good balance, I know it's sometimes I'm like, why are we doing all of these sports for Devin? But we just
Well,
make sure it's driven by him,
yeah, I remember you talking about that and how he was telling you, this is kind of what I want to do in the summer, and yeah, I thought that was neat.
Yeah, he's pretty good about saying, that saying, okay, this is too much for me, or I need a break here, which really surprised me because he's got a very all-out personality.
Yeah.
Wants to do everything.
He's social.
He's social, he's active, he's like must
Yeah.
move all times, but we appreciated that he was like, I don't want to do anything in the summer. Well, anything organized,
Yeah. That's good that he feels like he can tell you that.
Kind of amazing, actually.
Yeah.
So what does at this time, what does a typical day look like for you?
I mean,
Record, she made a funny face.
I feel like I'm every year trying to learn how to do this better. So, but life is a little chaotic right now. I'll just say that. So, I mean, we wake up not extremely early. I'll say that. So that is one of the beauty of homeschooling, is that you don't have to get up early to go to school. However, I will say sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it would be nice to have that school schedule where every morning we're getting up at the same time and going. So it's really, we get up and usually the older kids do get started with their schoolwork. And they have a weekly meeting, and they're expected to have certain assignments done so that they can participate in the class. So they know, you know, week to week what it is they're supposed to be working on. And I just kind of remind them and help them with the things that they need help on. The younger kids, I will read with or just be available for math questions. But I would say that most days are a little bit, they fluctuate.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got errands to run or something, then sometimes we'll all do that together. I know that's not a real clear answer, but
no, it is.
There's just a lot going on in life right now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Sometimes I've wondered, like, you know, we have a very structured day, you know, Devin has to be at school by 8 and he's in school till about 2:30 and he's home by 2:45 and, you know, pretty structured. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, why do I have to wake up? I'm not going to school.
Yeah. I did this.
But I do.
No, I think it's a good pattern to be in. That's one of those things that I thought, you know, we really need to get in a better morning pattern. But I'd say the older kids are doing better about that. I just need to make it a family wide thing.
Whatever works for you.
I'm trusting that they'll come out all right.
They will. They will. They're wonderful. Well, what would you say is the biggest challenge you face as a stay-at-home mom?
Biggest challenge. I'm not great at multitasking, I would say. So I think especially with homeschooling, trying to keep that going and keeping a household going, like the meals made at reasonable times, things cleaned up and laundry done. And that's a real challenge for me. It's like I can do one thing well, but I can't do all of that well.
Right. Yeah.
So that's probably the hardest. That's probably the hardest thing for me. But I mean, ultimately I want my kids to know that they are loved and that they're valuable and that God's given them different gifts and that we want to use them to glorify him and all those personalities that they've given him, that he's given them. You know, I just want to help them grow to be whatever they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know this, I've never been a great housekeeper, but if I have to sacrifice that to helping my children grow into healthy, productive people, then I'll do that. And I'll apologize to them when they're old and say, you know what, I'm sorry, our house was always messy. But
you know, I think your priorities are in order.
There are lots of ways I need to learn and grow, and Lord willing I will, but
yeah,
I can't do it all at once. So
yeah, I don't think that kids I think they remember, like when I think back to my childhood, I don't remember, you know, oh, my laundry wasn't ready, or, oh, you know, I don't know, the kitchen was a mess. I just know that I was loved and, you know, my mom especially, you know, just since we're talking about mom, was very nurturing, you know, and I mean, both of my parents were always there for me. My mom says sometimes, she's like, oh, I wish I kind of like what you were saying, oh, I wish I had had better meals for you and all this stuff. And I said, Mom, all that Sean and I will remember is that we were loved. And of course,
yeah.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, she loved him well. So, yeah, I mean, none of us is going to be perfect.
And, no.
But I think that children do will remember just that old overall feel of yeah. their home.
Yeah, I think so for sure. You know, I think we're doing okay. What do you enjoy most about being a stay-at-home mom?
I think having conversations with the kids, and I don't do that as much as I ought to, but I think more and more as they get older, just hearing what's on their minds and starting to see them as, not that I didn't see them as human beings, but I mean starting to see them as rational thinking kids who are wrestling with ideas and trying to make decisions, and also helping them learn to relate to each other and how to manage well, like you were doing with Devin, how do you manage people and what are good ways to solve these problems? So I think that those kinds of relational dynamics, which can be really hard also, but,
right,
that I enjoy.
Yeah, I know. Devin still talks to me, you know, about certain things. And the other day we were waiting for the dog to get groomed. So we went to this park nearby, and he's kind of outgrowing the playground, but
yeah,
this is like an amazing playground. This one's, you know, incredible. So yeah. He got on the swings, and I decided to swing with him. And
oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Harder than I remember it to be.
Wait, do I push my legs out
when, yeah.
I go up, when I go down?
I'm like, this is a lot of weight to push around. But we were swinging, and then we sort of stopped swinging, and he just all of a sudden wanted to talk about all these things. And I was in that moment, my heart was just swelling that he wanted, you know, it's funny. He wanted to talk about was I, or how much of a daredevil was I growing up and what sort of things that we did. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you ideas. And I just remind him that I grew up in a different time. Yeah. With limited supervision, but, but it sort of led into like talking about different childhoods. And, you know, I was sort of sad that I got a text from the groomer that the dog was ready.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know,
yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was definitely nice. It's fine. We'll get the dog.
I find that one thing that I have to battle is distraction. Like, to consciously think, you know, this is a valuable thing and is important to spend this time talking. It's so easy for me to be distracted. I think it's so easy for our kids to be distracted too, but sometimes I have to make a conscious effort to sit still and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's hard for me to sit still in general in my life. And for me in the car,
yeah,
it seems to be the prime when he wants to talk about things. And then when I literally have to sit still, you know.
Yeah.
it
is a good time.
Yeah. And I really enjoy those, you know. Jeff gets a little jealous that I get all of those because I'm, you know, I'm mostly the one
yeah,
driving them.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
And I'm like, well, you know.
You're right.
I'm the mom. Well, so I think one thing in being a stay-at-home mom is there's a lot of judgment, I think, as far as, and, you know, from the greater world about, you know, some people are like, oh, it's not a job, or, you know, you've probably heard some of that. What do you, I don't know, do you ever face that, that's, you know, you ever get that feeling like, you know, oh, well, I don't know, there's just seems to be this judgment about it sometimes?
I would say probably because just I am around a lot of other stay-at-home moms and homeschool moms, then so I don't face that a lot. I mean, I'm aware, and I think probably I do this to myself, and other stay-at-home or homeschooling moms do it. We do it to ourselves and think, I mean, just kind of think, oh, am I doing enough? Am I being productive? Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, I know this is a valuable job. Mm-hmm. You know it is, but sometimes you don't feel like it in the moment.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know how people have the energy actually to work a full-time job and parent their kids.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think it would take more than I shouldn't say more than I have. I think there are plenty of people who do it, and I think if I had to do it, God would give me strength to do it. But mm-hmm. yeah, it would be exhausting. I think being a stay-at-home mom is exhausting, so I can't imagine doing it.
It is exhausting. I think the thing with being a stay-at-home mom is like you're never off the clock, you know, as a mom, you know, it's like your job all day. And
you're kind of the default, you know, in the middle of the night, you're the default to wake up and to, which, you know, I think as long as there's a balance in the home, you know, I can see that, but
yeah, definitely.
I'm
actually interviewing some other friends of mine. They're both full-time working parents, and they I interviewed them because they have a nice balance, I would say, on who does what. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, as the mom, you're always the default, I think. You know.
Yeah, I think there is something to that. I feel like that's probably true.
Yeah.
For Emily, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I know. I mean, who gets the call that your son threw an apple at school? Mom does.
What? Did I hear that right?
Whenever I get it, you know, it comes across as being from the Yucaipa Kalamasa School District, I'm like, oh no. Not that he gets in trouble that much, but you know, you.
No, but I would think any parent would feel like that.
What is this?
I would say probably the one of the challenging things, well, that we already mentioned was that, you know, you don't get paid for being a stay-at-home mom or homeschooling mom, and sometimes you would like to have more incentive or recognition, you know, that's right. Just a very human human desire, but you know, because it's such a delayed gratification, you know, you're putting in all this work, and for a long time you may not see the results, or you don't, you know, as far as homeschooling, you're always thinking, well, are my children going to be equipped to go into the world and be productive members of the working force? Are they going to be equipped to go to college? Or am I doing everything I need to do to help them? I think there's always that uncertainty there. Whereas if you were working, you would, you know, every 2 weeks or whatever, you would be getting a paycheck, and then your supervisors would be responding to your work and letting you know whether you're doing a good job or whether you're not doing a good job, what you need to change. But for as a mom, no, I'm just
nobody.
Going along, doing the
nobody.
Best.
I know. Sometimes I find myself, you know, like asking for it, but in a backwards way, like, oh, what do you think? Devin's doing really well, isn't he? You know, and I want Jeff to say, yeah, you did a good job. or whatever, you know. And he's pretty good with that, or at least sensing that I'm asking for approval.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because you don't, your kids are your employers, and they are not going to say, wow, mom, you know, you did a good job getting us up today, and, you know, the laundry looks great, or they don't, you know, ever, even when they're a teenager, they don't, when they're older.
I think there are some who, I think some of that is personality based. Like some do are, you know, they do see the work you put in. But I mean, I can't expect my children to fulfill my need for affirmation. So yeah. I try to remember that they're kids, and I don't, you know, but when they give it, I mean, it's wonderful because then you think, oh, wow. And then that means they're also learning to be observant with other people. So, I mean, it's a skill that they need to learn as well.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. You know, for Devin, it's just the random hug that he'll give me. And of course, I want to just hold on. And he's like, okay, enough.
I go play now.
That's what you get. Or yesterday, we had a meeting at the school for Devin's speech IEP. And you know, they always go around and like talk about Devin. They talk about like his general education and how he's doing. And they talk about his speech goals. And there were three different teachers or speech therapists there. And every one of them said, you have a sweet boy. And we looked at each other like, oh, okay, you know, like we do have a sweet boy, you know, he is a good boy. So that's nice.
It's helpful to hear.
And cute. And, you know, he can't control the cute, but he can't control the sweet.
Yeah. I mean, that's helpful. And I think that's instructive too, that for me, as I think about mom friends that I know and, you know, how can I encourage them? I mean, this doesn't just go for mom friends. This goes for any friends, but it does help you remember, oh, everybody needs to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's true. That's true, for sure.
Welcome back to 45 Left to Right Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Claire. She's amazing. I cannot believe all that she does every day. Just extraordinary. But I've always thought that about her. So usually this is a big, hearty section on research. But because I had, you know, a longer interview with Claire, I am keeping the research a little light on this episode, but it's still going to do it. All right. So salary.com, they did a survey before and after the pandemic, and they surveyed 19,000 moms, which that's a decent amount of a sample size. And in surveying these moms, they asked the moms to give a description of what they do every day. And then they took those descriptions and categorized them into jobs in the outside market. Some of the jobs that they included were chief operating officer, logistics analyst, housekeeper, van driver, public school teacher, especially during COVID, facilities manager, event planner, cook or a kitchen manager, assistant athletics director, nurse, physical therapy supervisor, nutrition director, fast food cook, server, conflicts manager, fundraising coordinator. And those weren't even all of the jobs. But those are the ones I thought were really applicable. I have been on social media where this was cited, And people just flipped out. Oh, they don't do all of that. You know, that's not a fair assessment. You know, I could argue back and forth. Generally, the people who comment on this have never done the job or aren't familiar with what stay-at-home moms do. And I'd like to say working moms do these things also, but this is an episode about stay-at-home moms, so we're just going to stick to that. So they took all of those jobs together and created sort of what would be a salary that they would be worth outside of the home. So they evaluated and estimated pre-pandemic that this would be worth $178,000. Post-pandemic, so 2020 and 2021, they valued it at $185,000. Obviously, with the pandemic, you got to add education in there and probably some extra jobs that I just can't think about right now. How are moms getting it all done? Stay-at-home moms work on average 106 hours a week. So on average, 15 hours a day. Let's put this into perspective. Several years ago, I don't know if y'all remember, but I can't remember if it was a national law or if the medical field decided that general surgery residents were working too long of hours and were making mistakes and burning out. So now general surgery residents are limited to 72 hours a week. That's a big difference, right, between stay-at-home moms and general surgery residents. Some skeptics may say that stay-at-home moms don't really work that much because their partners come home and help out. Absolutely. They do get some help in ideal situations. Jeff has always been an actively helpful partner. I mean, just incredible. But here's the thing. Even with a partner, you're still responsible for your kids, at least partially. You're still responsible for their welfare, even with help. So it's not like you're completely off the clock. You aren't driving away from them and living somewhere else. So this would be like working a 9-to-5 and then bringing a customer home with you to live, yet this customer cannot do anything for themselves. You need to cook them dinner. You need to entertain them, help them take a bath, and put them to bed. And then in the morning, you'd have to help them get dressed and brush their teeth and feed them breakfast. Sounds silly, but think about it. It's true. So this next bit I found on yahoo.com, their finance section. And the name of the article is "The Number of Stay-at-Home Mothers Rose Dramatically in the U.S. Last Year." And I think this was done a couple of years ago. Or I'm sorry, a year ago. This is according to a study conducted by Motherly. And this article calls them an advocacy group. I don't really think they're an advocacy group. It's a publication. By the way, that has routinely rejected my pitches, but they have good information. In 2022, 15% of mothers identified as stay-at-home mothers. In 2023, it's up to 24%, which means that 9% of mothers have given up their jobs over the past year. The most common motivation for that was wanting to stay at home with their children, which is absolutely a great thing. I like having this option, and I like being a stay-at-home mom, or I'm sort of hybrid right now. I enjoy being the one who gets to spend more time with Devin. He is a funny, happy, and curious kid, and he always has been. He gives my life such light. And I know he benefits from having one parent mostly at home. But that doesn't mean it isn't hard. Now, this survey also suggests that if women would choose to return to work, there would have to be more flexibility at work, and there would have to be more affordable childcare options. But you have to remember that some people choose to stay at home, and financially, they're able to do that. But some people have to stay at home because they can't make enough money to support outside childcare. So it's a tough situation either way. Welcome back to 45 Left to Right Podcast. I want to conclude with some stories of my experience as a stay-at-home mom and then just some reflections. There is a misconception many people have about being a stay-at-home mom. I think they think we have all the time in the world and just sit around eating bonbons all day. Now, bonbons are delicious, but I rarely had time to sit around with a toddler running around, let alone eat luxurious chocolate. My snacking was more likely to be chicken nuggets and dropped blueberries. Devin and I had a very strict schedule that we stuck to for the benefit of both of us. After Jeff left for work around 7:30 in the morning, Devin and I would finish our breakfast and watch some Curious George and maybe some Wildcrats before getting dressed and ready for the day. Now, I just have to say, Curious George was an adorable monkey, but the adults in his life were so dumb. Wildcrats is brilliant and a national treasure and should never, ever go off the air. But once Daniel Tiger came on, we were out of there, usually by about 9. We would go to a playground so Devin could get his energy out. And he liked to run around and zoom his Hot Wheels down the slide. If anyone was in the way of this, they could either join in the fun or get hit in the face with a tiny metal car. In an effort to be an interactive mom, I would play with him, run around with him, push him on the swings, although I was so happy when he could swing himself, which seemed to take forever, probably on purpose. We would play with Hot Wheels, etc. This was fun for sure, but as an adult, maybe not as stimulating as I was used to. Not that long before, I was flying helicopters, and only a few years before, I was traveling all around the country, performing stand-up comedy and doing motivational speaking. It is very difficult to entertain yourself and a child at the same time. The child wins every time. After the playground, we would go, do something like go to the library or find some kind of toddler interactive thing. Our community center had a lot of things like this. They had toddler gymnastics and art, mommy and me kind of things. Later, when I met my friend Rachel, we would meet up with her somewhere or at her house where Devin and her daughter could play, and then we could chat and hang out. And that was a lovely time for me and hopefully for her. Around 11:30 or so, we would have lunch either at Chick-fil-A for a treat or we would go home, I made sure that he was down for a nap by noon because he was an absolute grumpy mess if he didn't get his nap, or if he napped too late, he would be hell to get down for bed. After his nap, I would give him some free play time, which always involved his Hot Wheels or playing outside. We lived in Southern California, so outside was a great option, always sunny and warm. Sometimes we would walk our elderly dog Taco around the block, or as Devin got older, he would scoot on his little three-wheeled scooter, or he'd zoom around on his balance bike. We would have a snack around 3, and usually we would make another trip to the playground. We have a lot of great playgrounds around here, too. I would start cooking dinner around 5, all while supervising my wild man, and then Jeff would come home around 6, all joyful and happy from his day out of the house. Now, I usually had one of several reactions to his homecoming. One, I would bombard him with questions about his day with adults. 2, I would resent his very innocent question of, "What did I do today?" 3, I would collapse with exhaustion and just hand Devin off to him. 4, I would be resentful of his day on the outside. It was mixed bag. We would eat dinner together, which we still try to do, though Jeff and I would have what I made. And then even though I always tried to cook things that Devin would like, let's face it, and anyone with a toddler knows, he had a lot of chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. It's all they would eat sometimes. Jeff is a very active and involved dad, so he usually gave me a break and took over the entertainment duties after dinner. I remember in our rental house, they would play this game where they would throw a tennis ball against the house, and then they would try to catch it on the rebound. I remember hearing that tennis ball bonk, and then Devin and Jeff would laugh and laugh and laugh. And I loved those sounds. It's obviously a core memory for me, but I also was so tired and I just wanted to do something for myself. When it came to bedtime, Jeff and I split the duties. I would usually do bath time and get him in his PJs, and then Jeff would read to him and put him to bed. Devin went through this phase where Jeff would put him in bed, and about 2 minutes later, Devin would burst through his door, laughing and running, and then Jeff would try to put him back in bed, and this happened over and over and over and over. But Jeff let me go to bed, and he handled it. I have, and I will say this forever, an extraordinary husband. But many women do not have this kind of support. All of this might sound easy to anyone who hasn't experienced it, but it is a really hard mix of joy, of pressure, and of loneliness. You get to experience these joyful moments from your children. Devin's giggly laughter, his legs that were always on the move, how he loved his Hot Wheels, but he always freely shared them at the playground, how he would zoom his balance bike all over the community park. All of these things I got to experience. But it is also exhausting being responsible for this beloved child all day long, making sure his wild legs didn't lead him into a busy street or that he didn't lose control over his bike and get hurt, that the kid he is playing with returns his Hot Wheels, that you are enriching him enough that he will do well in school one day, that you are giving him all of these meaningful experiences, that he is balanced, that he is kind, that he doesn't pull the cat's tail. And even if you have wonderful friends, you still spend a majority of the day with this precious little being who you can't have a real conversation with. Hearing all of this, why would anyone deprive a stay-at-home mom of some bonbons? Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the 45 Left or Right podcast. If you can, rate, review, and subscribe to this episode. And if you haven't already, the podcast in general. Found out that you cannot write comments on Spotify, but you can rate it with stars. And it's usually there's little triple dots at the bottom where the episode description is. On Apple, you can rate and review, but since I am an Android peasant, I cannot walk you through those steps. I am sending my podcast to YouTube now, and it's easy to do all of those things, so that's nice. I'm going to link all of my social media in the episode description. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, so please find me there if you are thoroughly obsessed. I know this is a lot of ass, but I'm trying to, you know, get out there and, you know, hopefully reach the masses, though I do appreciate everyone who listens now, and hopefully you will in the future. So thank you so much for listening. I think Jeff is coming back with my bonbons. So bye for now.